best advice that he gives me really is just to try to outwork everyone. Try to outwork, you know, everyone you compete against. Try to outwork fear. Try to outwork everything. I feel like now I'm really just going out there playing free, playing faster.
What are we all going to be saying about Rashad Perriman at the end of the 2017 season?
He's a real deal.
Welcome into the lounge. We are going to be joined by another great guest, somebody that I know Ravens fans are looking to hear from. Why do we even preview it like that? Because the name of the guest is in the title.
Yeah,
they know who
you give it away.
Yeah, and I don't understand why.
Then
we
you try to create
this
like excitement,
this drama.
Yeah, this drama, and it's like we're gonna tell you in a second.
But it's Rashad Perriman.
Yeah, you already know.
It's Rashad Perriman. Yeah, you know. Anyway, we'll stop doing that for future opens. But I'm Ryan Mink. You're Garrett Downing, and I'm gonna read an email. Let's just jump right into it.
Jump into it.
We got an email from Benjamin Letonin. Hope I pronounced that last name correct, Benjamin. And they say, hi, I'm a longtime fan from Sweden here.
Another international fan.
Yeah,
I like
another
it.
International fan. They say, since I don't live in the U.S., I have a question that I heard that I haven't heard an answer to. I know you need a backup quarterback, and we have a good one for the moment in Ryan Mallett, but why not turn to one that's in-house? I guess even more in-house than Ryan.
Right.
Even though he has changed to wide receiver. What about Keenan Reynolds? I don't know enough about him, but wouldn't he be a good backup for Joe Flacco? Keep it up, guys. Signed, Benji.
Well, thanks for the email, Benji. And if you have questions or comments and you want to email the show, you can do that at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net.
Yes.
Simply put, I mean, Keenan Reynolds is not really built to be an NFL quarterback. He's not really big enough. He doesn't have a huge arm. I mean, they ran a triple option running. He was more of a glorified running back in college.
Correct.
He ran the show.
He ran their offense.
Yeah, but he wasn't a quarterback in the sense like Joe Flacco's a quarterback who's throwing it 40 yards down the field. 50, you know, he was a running back in that Navy
system.
Who could throw.
Exactly. So he could be the only option there, I think, is as a trick play kind of guy.
Sure. That is something. If he catches on as a receiver, then you like hold that one, kind of like the Patriots did with Julian Edelman against the Ravens. Yep. He was a college quarterback, made the transition wide receiver.
Right.
You kind of hold on to that one in the bag of tricks. So we're not going to talk too much about that because we might let the cat out of the bag.
But yeah, so thank you very much for the question, Benji. I do have to say, from Sweden, as beautiful as I hear it sounds, being that I have family in Norway, big rivals. Norway, Sweden.
No
so
one cares.
Go Norway.
I'm on, what's it, Benji?
Benji.
I'm on Benji's side.
Why would you go against my family?
Because I go against everything that you say.
Okay. Fair enough. And true.
So without any further ado, we want to welcome in Rashad Perriman.
All right. So, Rashad, starting out, we got to talk about that sick video that we put on the website of you catching balls off the jugs machine. That was pretty – that got me hyped up.
Right.
Were those balls coming as fast as they looked on the video? Or give us a little behind-the-scenes kind of preview here.
I don't think it was coming as fast as it looked. It looked pretty fast in the video. So I don't know how they did it to make it look like it was coming extremely fast, but I liked it. You know, I was kind of sketchy about doing that at first because, you know, I'm just a behind-the-scenes type of guy. But it came out nice.
And you were in the dark, which adds another element to the whole thing.
That's what made it pretty hard. That's what made it hard. So I feel like if it was going any faster, it wouldn't have worked out too good. It was pretty dark.
So one time, Garrett and I were in the gym. So we're getting ready to play some basketball or whatever, and the jugs machine's in there, right? And so we get in there, we're like, how fast do you think we can catch one off this thing? So we turn it up, it's like 15 miles per hour or whatever, we're standing like 10 feet away. Mm-hmm. We catch it all right, you know? We decided to jack it up a little bit.
Not that high, though. It's like 20.
Maybe 25. They start whizzing over our head. Literally, we're hitting the deck on these things, man. I seriously thought I was going to go blind. Like, one hits you in the face,
I know.
It ain't good.
Right.
So then we, who was it then we came back out?
We asked Jacoby.
How fast he takes up to, he was like, what, 50-something?
Yeah. Yeah, 50, 45, 50.
So how fast do you take the balls off the jugs machine?
Yeah, 50 is about a normal good speed.
We were literally scared at 25.
We were standing in here. I know that there's no camera, but we were ducking, just like sticking our hands out there, pretending like we could try to catch it.
It hurt.
It will come in fast. You gotta be on your P's and Q's.
So, Rashad, we figure, you know, we got to ask you a little football questions. Then we'll get into some of the more personal stuff because our fans, you know, they like to talk about wide receivers. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever noticed that before, but they're kind of obsessed with wide receivers. So did you know that you're in position to have a pretty big role on this year's offense the way things stand right now?
Yeah, I do know that. I've been hearing a lot about it, and I can't wait.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, just what are the emotions knowing that, you know, that it looks like right now you'd be in one of those two starting positions and have your chance to really flourish this year? What are the emotions knowing that?
Basically just excitement, man. You know, you've been waiting for this moment all along, so now that it's finally coming, you know, you kind of get excited, but at the same time just try to still take it day by day and not even really look too far ahead, you know, just continue to get better daily.
Right. You know, everyone's a little different in terms of how they handle hearing, like, the outside noise. Mm-hmm. When you hear people say, oh, the Ravens need to add a receiver or this, that's there's a question mark at that group. Does that motivate you? Does that bother you? Like, how do you take outside criticism?
I feel like it motivates me in a way, but at the same time, I mean, if I just happen to run across it, then, you know, then I see it, but I really don't really pay attention to it. I feel like if it's not in this building, you know, or the guys I go to war with, you know, every day, every practice, every game, then I really don't too much care for it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, you do hear it, and, you know, sometimes you hear it from, you know, just different people, you know, even family members sometimes might say something about it. So it definitely will motivate you.
Right, so obviously it makes its way back to you. I mean, what are your expectations for this year? We talk about it, and everyone has different expectations of he can do this or that, but from you, like, what do you expect to accomplish this year?
I'm going to spend a huge year for me, be honest with you. You know, just be consistent, be accountable.
Is it something, I mean, obviously there are the team goals, but is there something in you that writes down your personal goals or whatever it is? Like, do you really chart them and say, all right, here's what's on my whiteboard, and I'm shooting for this, you know?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I write down goals every year. You know, of course, the team goal is to win the championship, then win the Super Bowl. Right. But, yeah, I write down personal goals every year and, you know, always look at it from time to time, you know, make sure that I'm on track and try to reach those goals.
Have you written them yet?
Yeah, we got to get the answer. We got to get behind the scenes a little bit here.
Have you written them?
I haven't written them yet.
Okay, all right. But they're going to be loftier. Like, what were last year's goals? What did you write down last year? Do you remember? You do remember.
You remember. Did you hit them or did you come up a little short on
them? I fell a little short, but I won't fall short this year.
That's right. That's, hey, man. If you're not aiming high, I mean, where the hell are you aiming?
Right, right.
If you're writing down, I want to have 10 catches for 100 yards this year, I wouldn't like to hear that either,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, I got to believe that one of the goals probably last year that you did hit is you wanted to stay healthy,
yeah.
Right? And you did.
Right.
And I feel like that kind of gets lost a little bit, you know, like, because obviously your rookie year went the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the knee injury leading into last year, and there was just the question, like, is this player going to be able to stay healthy?
Mm-hmm.
How nice was it for you to be able to say, okay, you know what, I can stay healthy and play an entire season?
Well, I feel like that was big. You know, all along I knew that I could stay healthy, and I feel like that wasn't, like, something that I was just nervous about. I mean, the injuries that happened to my rookie year, I feel like it was just some freak accidents, you know, but I never really thought of myself as, like, injury prone or anything like that. So that was my expectation and my goal, was to stay healthy all year, and it happened. So just continue to build on that this year.
Can we go back, and I want to kind of go through the start of your career so that fans really understand how difficult it was for you. You know, I don't think since you were kind of away from the spotlight for your rookie year,
mm-hmm.
fans didn't really understand. You know, they were kind of left guessing. And so I just want to talk about that from your perspective. How difficult was that? I mean, obviously you get drafted in the first round, you have high hopes for yourself. And then to suffer the first injury and especially think, oh, this is only going to be a couple weeks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just take me back to that time and how difficult it was for you.
It was very difficult, man. I feel like, you know, just thinking back, I just feel like when it first happened, you know, I thought it was just a minor setback.
Mm-hmm.
And then it seemed like it was just getting worse, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just bad news after bad news, because I really did think I was going to come back. And then, you know, later in the season, I realized that, you know, it wasn't going to happen. So that was just bad news on top of bad news. So it was pretty hard, man. You know, Glad I got through it, but you know, when you look back at it, it was real tough.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Did you not? You know, was it hard for you to go to games? You know, and be there, and probably wanting to be on the field, and knowing that, you know, you were putting in all this work behind the scenes, but you could stand there on the sidelines, but you couldn't step onto that field. Was it hard for you? Did you not want to go to games because it was so difficult?
Yeah, I feel like that was maybe being one of the hardest things about it.
Really?
Yeah. You know, just having to go to the games, knowing that you're not going to get in, and you know, just being in the whole environment, but you don't know, you can't really take any part of it. That was the toughest, I think, mm-hmm. for me.
So what'd you do?
Oh, what did I do? I think I went to some games. Right. And some games I just couldn't go. Like, mentally, I wasn't.
Right.
It just wasn't going to sit good with me at all.
Mm-hmm. So you watch at home?
Yeah. Home with my family for the most part.
So with your family? So your parents came up from Florida to watch with you?
Yeah, because that year, you know, they had bought all their tickets, you know, to travel in advance. So they had all these tickets to come up, you know, to watch me play, but I wasn't playing for the year. So they said, you know, no need to let money go to waste. They still came, and we just watched it together.
I remember, you know, I think it was near the end of the season or maybe right after the season when you did the press conference. I think it was right after you went on IR, and you talked then, and you talked about how your parents came up and how that was so helpful to you to have them kind of come up and talk to you during that time. What did that mean to you to have them to spend that time with you, and how much did you kind of need that family support?
I feel like I need that a lot, to be honest with you. You know, a lot of things I do, I feel like I can just handle on my own, you know, but for them coming up and just being there with me during the games and things like that was big for me. Because, you know, they always, you know, they're my parents, so
right.
They always got something encouraging to say, you know, some positive words and just looking at things and having a positive outlook about everything, so I feel like that was huge.
Was that, I mean, this question, we're going to go on to talk about other difficult things, but was that the hardest point, would you say? Was that your lowest moment then when you were injured? Of a year of difficulties from you, but, you know, I remember when you came back, you talked about how you felt like you were, like, depressed, you know? Do you still look back at that as the hardest moment?
Oh, that's tough. Nah. Because, I mean, that year was just crazy for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't even know what I can rank as a most. Well, it was just a lot of challenging moments for me. So
yeah.
I don't think that was it was tough. Football means a lot to me, but, you know, I had stuff, some family stuff going on, you know, my best friends. You know, it was a lot of things that was going on, so.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, obviously what you're kind of talking about is with Trey,
mm-hmm.
you know, and Trey passes away in March of that mm-hmm. year in the accident. You know, I don't know that, you know, people didn't necessarily know that you guys, I didn't at the time know that you guys were so close. Can you talk about how that friendship kind of developed and how you guys became as close of friends as you were?
Basically, for the most part, you know, Trey from Miami, all my family's from Miami, so my dad and his dad knew each other.
Okay.
Like, basically, a lot of his family and my family knew each other. So,
okay. But you didn't know each other back then or anything like that?
No, I met him, but we wasn't, you know,
okay,
like
that's
that.
That's cool.
But Trey was, he was also cool with one of my cousins, who was like maybe a year younger than me. So once we got up here, we just kind of like clicked. Like, I knew that my family knew his family. And I knew that one of my cousins was cool with him. So I had asked him, you know, was he cool with my cousin? And then we just clicked. And he was telling me, like, we used to always talk. And he said that his dad used to talk about my dad all the time. And it's, you know, from then on, it was just his.
Yeah. And I would imagine that he was somebody you kind of leaned on when you were going through all the injuries and stuff like that. Was he a guy that was a real resource to you then to kind of try to keep you up?
Yeah. I feel like he was a big part too, like my family and him and Bobby for the most part in the receiver corps, because, you know, Trey, you know, I really, during that year, I wasn't really talking much at all. Like, I just come to the facility, you know, just do what I got to do and let that be that. But when I do talk, it was mostly to Trey.
Right.
You know, so anytime, like after practice or anything, like I was over his house all the time. So he was just, you know, always telling me, you know, just positive things.
Right. So then after Trey's death, obviously, then you have your dad's health scare. I mean, it's like things seem to just get worse. How crazy was that with your dad's stroke that you went through and you know, you went down there immediately and stayed at the hospital for a couple of weeks and stuff like that? I mean, at that point, are you like, what the hell is going to happen next year, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, my dad, his stroke was a huge scare.
Yeah.
So it was just like, you know, stuff was happening. I think that was maybe a little less than a month after Trey died.
Right.
So it was just like any football was really at that time because I was healthy. So at that time, football was only really the positive thing I had.
Right.
So I feel like other than that, everything else was just negatives. So honestly, and when that happened, I mean, only thing that really got me and my family through was just being strong, you know, praying and thinking positive. But it's always that thought in the back of the head when you have just tragedy after tragedy. It was just that thought in the back of your head, like, what's going to happen next?
Right. I don't think I've ever seen anybody use the prayer hands emoji on Twitter more than you. You stay prayed up on Twitter. I feel like religion has been a huge thing. Your faith has been a huge thing for you over the past couple of years.
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, that's just how we was raised. And I feel like just going through, especially since I've been in the NFL, just going through all these tragedies and things like that, these situations, like, that's really the only thing that really helped me the most, you know, besides my family and things like that, just staying positive and strong and keeping faith. So, yeah, that's what I'm rocking with.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about how football is kind of like a release, and that's an outlet where you can go and you can kind of get away from everything else that was going on. But I'm curious, is it difficult to kind of, like, motivate yourself to go and get ready to go to practice or whatever it is when you have all this other stuff? How do you kind of balance that? Is it hard to say, man, you know, I'm excited to go to practice today because there's all this other big life stuff that's going on where football, the game, doesn't seem so significant anymore?
I mean, yeah. Especially, like, you know, when I eventually came back from my dad's care, it was pretty tough, and even with Trey, because, you know, I was just so used to doing certain things, like me and Trey, like, you know, always joking before we going outside, or it'll just be like the smallest thing. Like, I'd be excited to go to practice, but then it's the slightest thing, or if I hear Bobby say something, or he'll remind me of something that my dad used to say to me, like, when it was time to practice, or, like, things I need to work on or something like that. So, yeah, I used to always be positive, and then it was just like fighting emotions all day, for the most part, because, you know, you're excited about practicing, but the smallest thing can happen, make you think about Trey, make you think about my dad, and you got to fight that to kind of get back into the, you know, the positive mood. So it was just a daily fight.
And how much does that affect you on the field? I mean, a lot of the game is mental concentration, and when you're having those thoughts, it's got to be tough.
I feel like it affected me a lot, but I feel like I did a good job with handling it.
Yeah.
So, you know, for the most time, I mean, it does cross my mind, but I feel like I do a good job at, you know, snapping back and into the proper mindset quick.
And this is, this is a positive. Now, we've obviously been talking, you know, very difficult stuff. Your dad now is making some good progress, right? I mean, he's doing pretty well. Where is he in his recovery?
He's doing very good.
Good.
You know, I feel like, I mean, he still has ways to go. Everyone knows that, but just the progress he made now is just incredible. Like, I'm just happy now, like, that, like, he's here. Like, I feel like I do want him to shake all the way back, and I feel like he will, but just a matter of time. But at the same time, you know, he had a 3% chance of living. So just for him just to still be on here with me, you know, I can't really complain at all.
Yeah, is he still giving you a lot of tips about being a wide receiver? He might, you know, he can't move like he used to, you know, but I bet he's still got some words of advice for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He still, nothing much has changed at all. You know, he still got a sense of humor. He still get on me about, you know, just telling me a lot of tips and pointers about things that I need to work on. Like, everything is still there, so, You know, can't complain.
How much did he really shape you, not only as a person, but as a wide receiver? You know, how much did he push you, and was he constantly watching tape with you? You know, what was that like?
Coming up, it was basically, he was very hard on me. Like, once he found out that football is really what I, like, what I wanted to play and what I wanted to do, then, you know, he really turned it up. Like, that's all we did, like, football, football, football. And even in college, when I used to come home in the off season here, we would sit down and watch games. Even in the NFL, like, my first year when I wasn't playing, we would still come back and watch games, even though I wasn't playing, like, watch just different games, seeing what I can do better, seeing what, you know, people do really good at it, and, you know, just try to learn stuff from everybody. So that's, I kind of still got a mindset. So when I just left from home for Mother's Day weekend, so we sat on the couch and I put on a game, like, rewinded games, and we just watched it.
Wow.
And when you're watching it, you know, obviously there's the technical stuff, but is there a piece of advice that, you know, I don't know if there's one that really stands out that he's given you over the course of your NFL career in terms of kind of whether it's work, you know, the work you put in, whether it's being able to maintain a positive attitude? I don't know what it is, but is there a piece of advice from him that really stands out to you?
His advice is the best advice that he gives me really is just to try to outwork everyone, try to outwork, you know, everyone you're competing against, try to outwork fear, try to outwork everything.
How much of it, because I'm sure he looks at you and he says, man, if I had the speed that Rashad had and the size or that you have, I could have done even better in my 10-year career, you know? Like, he looks like at you, I feel like, as like this huge mountain of potential. How much do you carry a feeling of like, man, I just want to bust through and just show, put it all together and show the kind of receiver I can be?
I feel like that's itching me up real bad. You know, I feel like he always tell me, he says that, that's crazy that you say that, because he says that, like, to the T.
Wow.
A lot. So, you know, I know how much potential I got as well, so.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm just ready to put it all together, and it's going to come together.
Is there a, you know, it's interesting, when Marlon Humphrey came here, this year's first-round pick, his dad played in the league, played at Alabama, and I talked with both of them, and they kind of joked about there being a little bit of competition, a little bit of a rivalry mm-hmm. between them. Do you feel any sense of that with your dad?
Yeah, most definitely. My dad, that will never stop, I don't think.
Really?
Even if he knows I'm better than him, his pride just won't let him, you know, accept it. Even now, like, when I go home, I always tell him that I'm going to be better than you, and he'd be like, shoot, no, you're not. So, yeah, that'll never stop.
That's funny. So, I mean, let's rewind to last year. I mean, you go through all that stuff your rookie season, and miraculously your dad, you know, thank God he makes a recovery. But then you have another setback heading into last year with the ACL, another knee injury. How much do you feel like that, you know, you didn't come back until the last preseason game, like right mm-hmm. before the season. How much did that take away or set you behind, put you behind the eight ball even going into last season?
I mean, it put me behind a lot because, mm-hmm. you know, I haven't really, I think I just started practicing maybe that week of the mm-hmm. New Orleans game for preseason. So, you know, it was a lot of things. Like, I haven't really ran routes with any quarterbacks or anything like that. So it was just tough to get back in there and getting in the motion, getting mm-hmm. in the groove. But I feel like it all worked out, planned out.
Do you feel like you and Joe, because I remember Joe talking about this and you kind of talked about it, how you guys had to kind of get on the same page. Mm-hmm. And really the entire offense, but you two are a big piece of that. Do you feel like now that you guys are, you're on the same page?
Yeah, finally.
It took some time, but you finally feel like you're there. That's good.
Yeah, I do. We've been working every day, you know, running routes and stuff. So I feel like it's really paying off and really getting on the same page.
Every day this offseason so far, you're saying?
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. That's awesome news.
Yeah.
I feel like I go back to that Buffalo game, man. Your first game, your first NFL catch, mm-hmm. that had to be one of the sickest catches of any Ravens receiver last season. The one over Stephon Gilmore. I'm sure you know the one. I don't have to tell you about that catch. What was the emotion of making that when your dad was at the game, mm-hmm. came up for the game? Was it your birthday, too? Something like that?
No, it might have been a day after or before.
Okay, it was right around your birthday. Yeah. But just
your first game. I mean,
exactly. Yeah. What was the emotions of that catch in that game?
Oh, excitement, really, for the most part. I mean, after I made that catch, I just knew that I had a lot more in me. Like, that was just a kind of like a relief. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I did it. This is my first catch, first pass ever thrown to me in the league. Well, regular season game, man. So from then on, I was just like, I thought, you know, the sky was the limit. I could keep doing this over and over.
Right. So when you look back at last season, how do you evaluate it in your mind? How do you feel like it went?
I feel like it went okay. You know, definitely could have been a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I was starting to pick it up more as the season, you know, progressed. But I feel like it just went all right, you know. It should have went a lot better, and got a lot of things that I need to work on from last season, you know. But
what would your dad say about it?
He probably be a little worse than what I just said.
He'd have a little more critical things. Yeah. That goes back to the competition thing.
Right.
He's got to keep you grounded.
Is your dad ever as fast as you are, you think? Well, I guess I should get him on the horn. He'd probably say yes, right?
Yeah, he will. But no, he was close.
Yeah, really? Was he like a speed receiver?
Yeah, speed and just tough.
Right.
But he was close, but he wasn't. I don't think so.
Remind me, what did you run at your pro day?
4.22.
And John Ross ran at the combine this year. What, 4.22?
I don't know.
I think John Ross, broke the record. I think he was a 4.22.
Or was he a 4.25?
I think he was 4.22 at the combine. See, okay. We should do our research before doing these interviews. I wasn't planning to ask you about this, but I just thought about it as we were sitting here. And that's the combine record. You didn't run at the combine, right?
Mm. No, just as per day. Yeah.
Had you run at the combine, do you think we would be talking about you with the record?
Yeah, I think so.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, why not? What was your time in the 40?
I think it was 4.25.
Yeah. Dude, you didn't break 7. I don't really think you got sub 7.
Do you and Mike debate who's faster, Mike Wallace?
From time to time, if somebody asks, you know, Mike got a lot of pride about himself too, you know.
Right. He's not short on confidence.
Yeah, at all. And I don't expect him to say that, you know, that he's faster than me. I mean, that he's not faster than me, but I think... Yeah, he deep down inside, he knows, like, you know.
So, Rashad, I'm curious. How would you say you're a different wide receiver? Like, what things have you improved on? How are you a different wide receiver? And then, second question, a different person than you were a year ago if we had sat down and talked to you at this time?
Different receiver, I just feel like I'm a lot more comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, you know, not as tense, and I feel like now it's like not really as much thinking going on. Like, I'm really just going out there playing free, playing faster, you know, not thinking too much. Just going out there playing fast and catching has got, I feel like, incredibly better. Just hand-eye coordination, period, just got incredibly better. And as a person, just... for the most part, really just more positive, you know. Mm-hmm. Just whatever I put my mind to and really think and believe that it's gonna happen.
Right.
Are
you having more fun being in the NFL now? Because it seems like just seeing you around the building just seems like you are more comfortable, like you said. But it seems like you're enjoying yourself more.
Yeah, I am. I feel like I mean, I feel like that's a big part of this. I feel like this game not gonna last forever, and you know. Just being around, I feel like you should just have fun with your teammates. You around them every day, you might as well have fun. We working with them, we grinding together. Right. Pause. But might as well have fun. So I feel like, you know, just coming in day to day, you know, it's a lot more jokes being thrown around. So I'm having a lot of fun.
You don't have Steve barking at you, though. Steve, he loved having a locker next to you, I feel like. Who's giving you a hard time now? Who's joking with you now?
Nah, Steve was, man, cool dude. We all miss Steve, just the stuff that he used to say and all the jokes, man. But for the most part, you know, it's just all the receivers, just a big joke. Right. You know, all we do is tell jokes about each other, so I feel like that's really what makes everything more fun and, you know, for the most part.
Yeah. He's still only a couple lockers down from Sizzle. So
that's true, yeah.
You know, you're not safe. Too far. You're not safe over there. So, Rashad, to finish this up, what are we all going to be saying about Rashad Perriman at the end of the 2017 season?
And it's 2017 season. He's a real deal.
I like it. I like that. That's a good way to end.
Rashad, I can tell you're excited to play some football, man. You're like bouncing your knees. You're throwing the racquetball up in the air, the racquetball ball.
You're excited. I can tell, and I like it. So thank you for joining us, man.
Appreciate it.
So thank you to Rashad. Good stuff from him, as always. You know, Rashad's not the most, like, outgoing guy.
No, he's not. But you know, he is – he's got a really interesting story. And he's
tough story.
Been through a lot. And, you know, it was good to kind of sit down with him and talk about – like you said in there, like, I don't necessarily think that everybody knows all that has gone on behind the scenes, that he's worked really hard. And I think it was difficult for him because – you know, he just wasn't, especially going back to his rookie year, he wasn't visible and he wasn't around, and it was very difficult for him to be at games like he talked about.
Yep.
And so that's tough. And it was good to hear him talk about that and how he's worked through that. And I'm just glad to see that he's enjoying it. And I think that will make a big difference this year.
Yeah, I think he could have a big year. I like Rashad Perriman's potential. And you can tell that he's really excited. You can tell that a weight has been lifted off his shoulders, because for over a year plus, there was a heavy one on him. And I think that took a toll. And at this point, though, that weight has come off, and he's excited to play football, and like you said, much looser. And dude's got all the potential in the world, all the talent in the world. And I think he could be good.
Yep.
I think he could be very good this year. So I'm excited about it. With that said, that's all we got for you today. So make sure.
Which was a lot. We gave him a lot.
Which was a lot.
Yeah.
That was a
not
really
all
good,
we got.
That was a great podcast.
A-plus podcast.
Episode. So make sure you tell us how great a podcast it was by leaving a rating and a review. You like that transition?
That was a nice segue.
Leave a rating and review and email us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. And we'll be back with you next week.